the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always start off with this segment, Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry.
Well, one of the things I know that I came across was a couple interesting things. There's two veterans charity programs, and Walt, I'm not sure if you caught this, but Indian is supporting and sponsorship of the 4th Annual Veterans Charity Ride to Sturgis. The veteran-operated nonprofit organization uses motorcycle therapy to help fellow veterans adjust to post-war life. Many of the veterans joining the Veterans Charity Ride for the first time are amputees, paraplegics, and or suffer from post-traumatic stress and other issues veterans face after leaving the military. These new veterans will pair with veteran mentors who have already been through the Veterans Charity Ride program and receive one-to-one support to help them with their transition back to civilian life. The eight-day Veterans Charity Ride will depart from Las Vegas July 28th and travel through most of the scenic roads of the western United States on Indian motorcycles. Now, it kind of reminds me, Walt, way back in the far distance, we interviewed in a different show in a different time the Royal Canadian Motor Cavalry. And we talked to the chaplain and maybe even the co-founder, and they talked about how that group was instrumental in helping veterans, and they also include police and fire.
Yep.
It was a time when he says, you know, we'll be out on the road, we'll be sitting around the campfire, and then that's when the stories come up.
Yep.
That's when people start revealing their pain, and we're all hanging out, having a beer, cup of coffee, whatever, and we're all there with them in the presence, because we've all gone through it, and it really is therapeutic.
Now, there are people who ride who have lost a leg or whatever. If you lost your right leg, it just means that you're probably not going to be able to do the rear brake. Then again, if you can get a prosthesis, you probably can.
Yes.
On the other side, you want to be sure to get heel and toe shifting, because they have these, they get a left prosthesis that locks in place, so it doesn't pivot or anything.
Oh, okay.
Go forward, it goes, you know, down. Go backwards, it goes up. And so it's super easy. And the big thing about it is that guys who thought that they were, you know, in a wheelchair, in whatever, and then, you know, all of a sudden, now they got a reason to learn how to use that prosthesis and walk without the wheelchair. They realize they can get on a motorcycle and they can ride that bad boy just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. There was one guy that we knew that literally had both of his legs were amputated above the knee, and he had prosthesis that would do this, and he could ride that motorcycle just as well. And so it's a sense of pride when these guys are going along and they're on that big motorcycle. And once again, most motorcycles either have or can have heel and toe shifting as long as they have the platforms. You can't do it with pegs.
Four boards.
Yes.
Right, because you cannot do it with pegs. It's against the law. They're afraid you go back and miss it and drop your foot all the way on the ground and rip it off or something. But at any rate,
now the other thing too is you can take a Can-Am Spyder, which is a very popular for a lot of individuals who've lost their ability to the strength or whatever. And then we've seen three wheelers as well. We've seen that as another one. A lot of people go to the three wheel. A lot of older individuals who get arthritis have issues. They go to the three wheel or they go to the Can-Am Spyder, and they all. It's an empowering thing. Now, John, you do the honor tour.
Yep.
Are there veterans that go out on this thing as well?
Absolutely, yeah. There are veterans who ride. There are folks who, you know, family members of veterans like myself. You know, anybody who wants to support veterans and first responder charities. There's multiple charities that the tour supports. So, yeah, I mean, we get a lot of folks that come out and do it from now, all walks of life.
Now, did we talk about this year's honor tour? I don't think we talked about what the actual places, because when we last talked about it, you were just going to reveal it, but you didn't. We didn't follow through. So can you kind of take us through a little bit for those who do not know, who've tuned in now, that have not been with us for several months? Talk to us a little bit about the honor tour and what it is, where it's at, and where are some of the cool spots you guys got this year.
Okay. So the Tour of Honor was organized a few years ago by a fellow named Dave Brooks and his brother Steve Brooks. And they put it together to honor veterans and first responders. And basically what it is that in each state, they'll have 7 memorial sites that have been designated. And it's sort of a photo rally kind of thing. You sign up, you get a number assigned to you, you get a rally flag, and then you ride around your state and you visit these sites and you take a photograph of your motorcycle with your flag at that site, and then you turn that in. Then if you visit all 7 sites within your state or within your region, because some states are small, so they get kind of lumped together into a region.
Right.
You visit all 7 in a state or a region, you become a finisher and you get a finishing certificate and a pin at the end of the rally. And it's a self-paced thing. It starts April 1st and it goes through the end of October. So you have plenty of time to go out and do it. There are prizes awarded for the first 3 people who finish a state. So there's a little bit of a competition element in it. So if you get out there early and are able to finish a state early on, you have a chance at getting a trophy and getting one of those first 3 positions.
Well, that is awesome. We're coming up to our break and I didn't want to cut you off, but, where can people go to find out more information about that?
Simple enough. Tourofhonor.com.
Tourofhonor.com. I think Walt needs to go out and hit a few of these this year.
Yeah, possibly. The sites are listed. You know, I mean, you can go look and see where the sites are in the state of Washington or wherever your state happens to be.
There you go. Right there is our music, and we'll be right back with more of the show. Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johann. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we have helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more about the show, please visit us at www.worldofmotorcycling.com. We'd like to spend this segment on our candid conversations, where we spend some time interviewing the movers and shakers, the pioneers and speed freaks, the customizers and rebels within the world of motorcycling, or just talking to ourselves.
Well, what happened is I was telling the guys, I happen to host two shows, or co-host and produce two shows. Last night, the same thing happened, and tonight it happened again. In both cases, family came first. Last night, I got the call. I got the email in the morning. Steve, I can't make it. I forgot. It's my son's graduation. I have to go to that. I'm like, you go to the graduation.
Yep.
And tonight.
Yeah, it's not even a question, is it?
No. And then today, I had been back and forth with Jason Sherman, and he is the owner of. Let me get this so I got it straight. Dirt First by Moto Adventures. And he was planning to come on. I took lessons from him, one of his classes, about 3 weeks ago. I got a call at 6:30. He's in the car. Steve, I hate to do this, but I got a call. My daughter just went to the hospital. She had a fall. I don't know what's going on, but I'm heading there. I says, hey, prayers are already there.
Yep.
You go. We'll talk to you later. So
that's it.
When family comes first, accidents, you name it, we can all understand it. And so best
absolutely.
Of everything for Jason and his daughter. So,
yeah, you're talking about horsepower chrome and rust from last night. I got one that's kind of a crossover, I guess you'd say. I am well known for not having a great deal of love for the Ford Motor Company. However, they just got a patent for a system that has video on both of the outside edges of the rear of cars.
Right.
That because in California, you can lane split. And later on, I'm going to be talking about doing it in Washington, which is not legal, but people do it.
Right.
And
I even see cops doing it.
Yeah. Well, cops can. That's the little caveat that they put in there. Cops can. But cops can do a lot of things
yes.
if they're in the pursuit of duty. But at any rate...
U-turns in the middle of the road, yes.
The point is, a lot of states are looking at this because the motorcyclists really want it. And Ford immediately said, well, that's just not safe. And so somebody who I would say actually has his head screwed on straight said... well, damn, maybe we ought to make it safe. And so they have come up with this patent, which they're going to license it for like trivial amounts of money, whatever. They want to make sure everybody gets it. You know,
one of the things that I really like about it is it uses existing sensors.
Right.
Stuff that's already on the cars. So it's something that could be implemented quickly.
Are you talking about... okay, so like you have cars now have, you can get
like
the
blind spot sensors and things like that.
But they've got like the backup video player.
Yep.
Are we talking using that same technology now and putting it on both sides?
Same
similar?
Basic back, but kind of like at an angle.
But it
on
actually,
the edges.
Even if you're not looking, it actually will.
It actually will detect movement.
Oh.
It will detect the presence of a motorcycle, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Anything to keep motorcyclists safer.
And once again, like they're saying, is who you don't know. Some you might have a drunk, and he's
that's right.
just weaving and so on. And if you start getting indication that there's somebody back there, there may not be a lot you can do, but it'd be nice to know. So you know, but at any rate, like I say, I've kind of picked on Ford, you know, found on road dead and all that kind of stuff. But at
not
any
you,
rate,
Walt.
they did a good thing this time. I got to give them credit.
Yeah, they
for
did.
It.
There you go. Well, I've got an old Taurus and it runs just great. But I think that's great. I'm going to say kudos for Ford. And if they take that technology, apply it to their own cars, they're getting out of the sedan. Just to kind of go into the car world here for a moment, they're moving away from sedans. I think the only thing they're going to have is a Mustang. They're all doing the SUVs now. They're doing the trucks.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, most manufacturers are now moving away from passenger cars, moving into the SUVs, And that's a whole other ball game because here's the fact is, an SUV is bigger than a car, so and you're up above. And yep. So when you're in a sedan, you're slower down. You can look, and you can kind of see a motorcycle next to you. You're an SUV. You're looking out over things.
Yep.
And yep. They're not necessarily safer for motorcyclists. Yep. They can actually be more hazardous to a motorcyclist. So mm-hmm. In the long run,
I like the
I mean,
Chevy.
I've got my Chevy Astro, which is quote right. Like an SUV. I'm up higher.
It's a van.
It's yes. A van, but it's an all wheel, so I'm quite yep. Up there. But the bottom line is, you have to be more careful on a bike when you're going around bigger vehicles.
Yep, I get a kick out of the Chevy commercial that they have because they've got three of them. And they say, okay, this one is for when you just got married and you're having your great marital
oh,
bliss.
Yes.
And the second one is, this is when you have your 2.4 children and all that kind of stuff
yes.
Like that. And this is when you've got your five children and you need space. And the wife goes, five?
There will not be five.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I came across this very interesting blurb. It is Harley-Davidson's Men's Grooming Partnership.
Oh, yeah.
Men's grooming yeah. company America Crew is teaming up with Harley-Davidson to craft unique experiences and events for consumers worldwide. Basically, photographer David Ragalulia shot the upcoming American Crew and Harley-Davidson advertising campaign, Style for the Road, in Marfa, Texas, this past spring. The images will appear in advertising and brand collateral in salons and barbershops around the world. I think now you're talking. Now what you're doing is you're putting pictures of guys on bikes with
yep.
really nice haircuts
yep.
with advertising the styling salon on a cool bike.
Yep.
Now,
or you could have them come in with helmet hair and go back out looking good, whatever. You
right, know. But the
yeah. There you go.
The ads are going to show these probably partially bearded dudes, because that's the thing right now, on the motorcycles and there. But again, what it's doing is it goes into the primary audience that they want to reach, which is young men and older men in barbershops and salons. And because it's collateral, these salons always look for nice pictures that they can put on the wall. And they'll send them out with their product lines and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know who could have done that is the billionaire, John Michael. He could have done something like this.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
No.
No.
Oh, geez.
One of your billionaire friends there, Steve?
He's not a friend because I'd have his name down. Anyway, he rides Harley. He's
yeah.
very, very big into Harley. It'll come to me in a minute, but he was honored at the Sturgis Hall of Fame, Motorcycle Hall of Fame and everything. But I like the idea because you're now taking it out of the dealership. You're now taking it out of the realm of general motorcycling, and you're putting it into the realm of where people that yep. don't generally think about motorcycles being. Now let's say, why doesn't another motorcycle company, let's say Vespa, partner up with a female beauty salon product and do the same thing and show women on Vespas and put romantic pictures and put those in the women's salons. Now, if Vespa picks this up, they better pay me because I gave them a $1 billion idea. But
yeah, you're going to want some royalties on
I
that.
I will,
yeah.
Because that will sell a lot of Vespas, believe me. So I like the idea.
Yep.
Good on Harley. They still need to get with me. I got some other ideas.
Yep.
Maybe
you know, Ducati still owes money probably to T-Mobile.
Oh, I know.
Because that chick yeah. in the cat suit was selling Ducatis left and right.
And to women, too.
Might have sold a
That's
phone
That's what
or
I
two.
Mean,
That's
yes.
What... yeah, they sold a few phones, too, because of that. Because it was a really catchy, I
yep.
get it,
yep.
Speed
yep.
over slowness, blah, blah, blah. Everybody got that.
But one of the funniest things was I was at the IMS, and I was talking to the guys from Ducati, and they said, you know what? I have guys come in and they go, can I actually get a motorcycle in that, you know, T-Mobile pink and so on
right.
and a cat suit to match it?
Nope
and she
gals.
Said, we keep sending it back to the company. Make a motorcycle, looks just like that. Make the cat suit. You will sell a horde of it to women.
That's
and
right.
they never did it.
You know, I saw a petite young gal riding a motorcycle by me and I couldn't quite tell what it was, but she was all dudeed up and, And I went, she went by yesterday, and I went, boy, that's nice looking. And just the package of a gal on her own riding a motorcycle, all suited up, and just having a great time. And I thought, I like seeing that out there. Yep. Now, my wife's always said, I'll go on the back, not a problem, but don't ask me to ride it. We did scooters over in Hawaii, which is my handle when you see my picture every place. She said it was very nerve-wracking for doing that. So I said, okay, you can be on the back when I get my motorcycle, and that same thing, Walt's wife will get on the back, but she's not going to ride. Yep. And what about yours, John? Does she get on the back?
My wife goes for a ride once a year.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yes.
It's one day a year.
She says, you got me out.
Pat will hop on the back, but it would cost a small fortune to lower a bike enough for her to get her feet on the ground.
And the bottom line is she gets on the back and not even that much anymore.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. So that's – but at least they support you in your habit. You know, that's
– absolutely.
And then I noticed that Motorcycle Industry Council adds a new member to staff. Dan Lawler is a new director, research and statistics at Motorcycle Industry Council, and he will be leading the work on one of the association's most important member benefits. Lawyer's extensive background in automotive industry and marketing research from firm J.D. Power and 25-plus years experience in market research. He's going to come on there for consumer insights into what's going on into the world of motorcycling and that type of thing. So we'll see if that makes a big difference. I think they're doing a lot. They just held a conference a couple weeks ago, much like Give a Shift that Robert Pandia did. So everybody's trying to gather around, figure out what can we do to generate more interest in the world of motorcycling. And I'm like, well, get behind us, support us so we can get on a bazillion radio stations as well as podcasts, and maybe you'll get more interest. to the 10 people that are listening, they're saying yes. So, yeah. It takes big box thinking, out of the box thinking.
Yep.
Walt's been out of the sub. Are you thinking out of the sub these days?
Yeah, a little bit.
I would hope so.
Although there are times I think he thinks, I would like to be back on there.
I go out to the shore sometimes, and I swear to goodness, I keep thinking, oh, maybe it'd be nice to go to sea again.
Well, there's our music. We'll be right back with more of the show and a load of good stuff coming up.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com,
serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
And you could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft. The compression in my
Welcome back
engine.
To the third segment of the show. Welcome to another Candid Conversations with the three amigos. The crew's back at it again. And gosh, I can't. I got to turn up my. This allergies. It's been 2.5 months with a fluid in my left ear, and I don't go back to my naturopath, who's going to help me hopefully overcome the allergies so it drains out. So I'm half deaf now. And so when I go to talk, I can't hear myself. It's just weird. My wife will say, "Steve, you're talking too loud." I'm like, "I'm sorry, I can't hear."
It's welcome to my world. Yes. I'm all deaf, both sides.
It's just weird.
Deaf in one ear, can't hear out of the other.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, John, what have you been noting out there in the racing world? So we can jump into that a little bit sooner.
All right. Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff going on in the racing world right now. On the MotoGP side, silly season has started in earnest. It seems that Jorge Lorenzo, former world champion, has been released from his contract at Ducati. Minutes later, it was announced that he had signed with Repsol Honda, so he will be Marc Marquez's teammate next year. That should be an interesting pairing.
Can he race this year, or is he locked out until next year?
No, he has to finish this season on Ducati. His contract with Ducati goes through the end of the season, and he just delivered them a win at Mugello.
Okay.
So they fire him, and so he goes out and wins.
Did they fire him, or did he quit? Did they fire him, or he quit?
They fired him. They released him from his contract. They told him there would not be a seat there for him.
Oh, and then he goes out and says, well, I guess we better work a little harder now.
Yeah, so he goes out and posts a win, a very decisive win. It was pretty impressive. And and then turns around and signs a contract with Honda. So should be interesting to see how he gets along with the Honda motorcycle. And then Danny Pedrosa, who was under contract to Honda, was released from his contract with Honda to make room for Jorge. And we don't know where Danny Pedrosa is going to turn up yet, so we'll have to see where he resurfaces. But I'm sure he's going to sign with somebody good. He's a pretty solid racer. Over on the dirt side, Indian won their fifth consecutive all-scout podium.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Harley just cannot get on the podium in flat track, which is just unreal. So, yeah.
Well, it used to be the Harley. It was the old Harley
they
flat
used to
tracking.
Own it.
That's right.
That was all you wanted to have.
And now, and they ran it for years. And then when Indian came out, they decided we're getting into flat track in a very big way. And they came out with a machine that was designed for flat tracking that, you could put on the street. But it was designed with the whole dynamics of racing flat track. And that was about 2 years ago. And they have been cleaning up ever since.
Cleaning house ever since.
So,
And some sad news in the racing world. Another racer was killed at the Isle of Man TT. Scottish rider Adam Lyon.
Wow.
Died in a crash during the super sport race. So,
you know, most of the time when people crash in a track, they roll and there's not as many deaths. But the Isle of Man TT.
Those are public roads.
Yeah.
They're not banked. They don't have hay bales. They don't have.
No, there's rock walls and curbs and buildings.
Kind of stuff you're hitting does not give at all.
No.
Yeah, does not give at all.
It is one of those. Let's face it. It's like a Pikes Peak mountain climb event. Those suckers, when they go off, And I was watching one guy. He was in a car, and he's up about two-thirds, and next thing you know, he's like up over high sides into this big pond, kind of mud pond, and he's down. And he said, it happened so quick. And I'm thinking, you're so damn lucky you could have been on a cliff at that point, and you would have went right over, and that would have been it. People get medevaced out of that thing. But you know what? The thing with racers, whether it's drag racing, car racing, motorcycle racing, is part of the, I have to say it. Part of the adrenaline is knowing that at any time you could die.
It could all end. Yep. Right.
And so there's a certain mindset within a certain small group of individuals who want to live on the razor's edge.
Yep.
And those who raise the Isle of TT, the Isle of Man, they're them. And they know every time they go out there that there's a chance they're going to die. And there's been more deaths on that race than probably a lot of other more controlled environment. But then that's where people show up and they want to see this because it is such a unique, no holds bar, no protection. Yeah. That's why people show up at this, and it's such a huge event.
There's nothing like it.
I don't want anybody to say you can't do that. If somebody wants to race and take their life into their own hands, that's their choice. They have free will. I don't want somebody coming down and going, we're going to shut it down because it's like, you know what? No one put a gun to their head and said, you go out there and race.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a sad day when people do die. We don't want to promote dying on anything.
Yep.
That's why we harp on safety.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
That's one of those things. These guys have been professional racers or amateur racers for who knows how long, and they go out there, and then something happens, and they bite it. So
yeah, well, when we were down in Yosemite, they have a place in Yosemite that's called El Capitan.
Yep,
that is
been on
the
there.
Tallest, sheer rock face that there is, and people like to base jump off of that. But they made a law saying you can't do it.
Base jump, what do you mean?
That's they've got it's like a, they've got a
they go off with a parachute.
They jump off with a parachute, but you've got the little thing, the thing that causes the parachute to open in your hand, not pulling a ripcord. And so you jump, and as soon as you do, you let go, and the little thing catches and opens the parachute.
I climbed up El Capitan when I was, my 15-year-old was in a backpack, that small. So he was like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And he went in on the backpack on the back. And my other two sons are younger, or you know, older, and they're and there's parts where you're climbing, hand over fist.
So you went up the trail.
We went up the trail all the way to the top.
I was going
to
say, I doubted that you ever actually climbed El Capitan.
No. But we went up the trail, and the falls are coming on, and I got up there, and there were people playing in the water. And my immediate reaction when I got up there is, I wanted to get down right now. I do not feel safe with my kids up here. I don't feel safe myself. This is just one of the weirdest experiences.
Right. Yep.
You're up there on a flat rock, and it's a sheer drop. 1,000 more feet. And I just said, I think we were up there for 15 minutes. I said, we got to go. My kids, I don't want them playing around. They're being good, but I could just visualize. And then there are people that actually jump off of that thing.
Yep, what they do is they get way back, and they take off at a dead run, go off the edge of it, and as soon as they feel themselves start to drop, they let go of the little drag chute, and it pops everything, and they come down. Now, once again, that was made illegal, but they caused such a ruckus about it that they changed it. So it is no longer illegal to jump off of El Capitan. You have to have a license.
Okay.
Which is to say that you're not some hemorrhoid who just said, well, I want to do that. I bet I could.
In other words,
I'm
going to
make
like
sure you know something.
I think that's probably a wise choice. Now, there was a place down in Phoenix, Squaw Peak, and people would do hang gliding.
Yes. Yeah.
I could do that.
Yep.
But you're on the thermals. You're riding the thermals.
Right.
And you're only about 300 feet off the ground. And you come off and you're hitting those thermals, and they would be up there for an hour or two. And I thought, that looks really cool. But jumping off and doing the parachute off a cliff, no. But hang gliding off of, and it's a rounded hill, so you can kind of launch off. I could see doing that.
Oh, and they let them do that on
El
Capitan. They let them. You can jump or run a hang glide off of it.
But, you know, you can't carry a hang glider up El Capitan.
Well, you fold it all up.
Now, did anybody of those guys do the bat thing? You know, where they do the, what do they call that?
It's a speed suit, yeah.
The bat shoot or whatever suit?
Yeah. It's called a speed suit. The guy who invented it is just.
You still have to have a parachute at the end, do you
Yes,
not?
Yes, because.
It will not glide you to the bottom.
No, it doesn't glide that way. It glides if you're going, you know, mega miles an hour. But there comes a point in time when you're low enough and you got to pop something to slow you down.
Okay, so that's what I thought. Nice, it's more of a directing yourself.
Right.
But you're still falling.
You're still falling. And
that's
you're
what
going
I thought.
At good speed, too.
Yes, you are.
Let me tell you.
Not something I'd want to do. And speaking of things that you shouldn't be doing, I just noticed that bike thefts have been going down. The National Insurance Crime Bureau today released its annual report on motorcycle thefts in the United States. For 2017, a total of 44,268 motorcycles were reported stolen in 2017. Gosh darn. Compared with 46,467 reported in 2016, a decrease of 5%. After several years of consecutive declines, motorcycle increased 2015-16. However, 17, the result may signal a resumption of the downward trend. Now, top 10 most stolen motorcycles in the 2017 by manufacturer. So it's not like there's a bunch of them. Who do you think was the number one manufacturer to have their bike stolen? Walt or John?
Honda or Harley?
Probably Harley, yeah.
Honda,
well, okay.
Who do you think came in second?
Harley.
Probably Harley.
Yamaha.
Oh, my.
Who do you think came in third?
Ducati.
Suzuki.
We're starting to get a trend.
Wow. Right? Yeah, we're getting a trend.
Harley came in fifth.
Fifth.
Okay. Then you have Kawasaki, Tataro Group, KTM, Genuine Cycle. Ducati came down there in number 9 and Kymco number 10. So, Hondas had 8,000, and then Harley had 5,000. So that means people
want... Harley's going down because Harley, once again, that's one of the reasons why the total is going down is that used to be there was only two companies that made bike tracking devices.
Okay.
And only one of them that was almost impossible to find, which was Lojack. You could probably find it if you looked hard enough. But they dropped it a lot. Now there are 8. One of them is Harley. Harley
right.
has their own location system designed into the motorcycle, and you will not find it.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know. And you can actually get a thing that will tell you somebody's messing with your motorcycle. And
probably
you can
put it in your cell phone.
Right in your cell phone, yep.
I'll tell you, my thinking is, who is the demographic who does the thieving? Kind of choose an age demographic here.
They're probably teens and early 20s.
15 to 25, would you say?
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
30?
Yeah.
What kind of bike are they going to go after?
They're probably going to go after...
Sport bikes.
Matter of fact, remember we had that incident where there was two sport bike guys, a guy and a gal. They were racing down I-5. The one crashed. They returned. They left them, and they took off. The gal crashed and the guy took off. They were on sport bikes.
Yep.
They were part of a gang, not a club, but they were part of a gang. And, of course, they're going to take the fast sport bikes because what do you think they're going to do? They're joyriding these things. They're going to run them, and then they're going to drop them somewhere and take off. They're not going to get on a Harley for the joyride.
Yep.
Now, so I think
now,
that's...
if they're professionals that they're trying
to they're gonna take,
parts them
yes.
or they're trying to sell them or whatever.
That's a different ballgame.
They probably will go for
the
expensive stuff, which is Harley and Indian. But
and Ducati, yeah. Because now they're selling them. They're reselling them. But for joyriding,
right.
they're jumping on a sport bike. A teenager's going, I want that crotch rocket. Off you go. Whereas the professionals, yes, they're going after, like, when we went to the... we went to the Vintage Motorcycle Show here in LeMake, America's Car Museum, three years ago, and one of the guys
yep.
had their trailer boosted, and I think it was a couple different, one of
right.
them had a trailer and truck boosted, and by the time they tracked it down, it was already in a container getting ready to be shipped offshore.
Right. They had to get it out of here because it's not going to... You're not going to get anything in America.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Everybody who would want to buy it knows what happened, and they're not buying it. They'll tell on you as soon as they find out.
Right. So they had already, literally, right. within a day, they had located within a day or two, and it was already in a container heading, getting ready to be shipped.
Yep.
So these are the professionals. They've got the pipeline ready to go, and yep. they said, ooh, we got some money here, and it's going to a collector somewhere around the world that doesn't give a rip, and off you go. So... But I don't know. So I figure that's what the whole thing. And then, by the way, if you like to write and you're like kind of a journalist, Power Sports Magazine needs a staff reporter. It's still searching for a staff reporter to join their editorial department that provides blanket coverage of our industry. So it says, if you know any graduates or anything, they just contact Dave McCann at Power Sports Magazine, and maybe you can get yourself a job doing some reporting. Walt, you want to check in, or
no,
do you do much writing?
Not. They'll probably want me to do squid bikes and stuff. So.
And you're not squid guy.
No, I'm a Harley kind of guy. Although I'm a Harley rider. Well, I'll tell them all.
I know, but we're covering the industry right now.
Yep, I know. Yep.
So,
but that's why you got me.
To cover the industry?
Well, my end of it.
Yeah, your end of it. Hang on, we'll be right back. And there's John laughing in the background. Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. In this segment, we like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. John, what tip do you have for us this week?
Well, one of the concerns that pops up when I talk to riders in my basic rider courses, and they often ask about, you know, riding in the wind and how challenging that might be. And, you know, I've been caught in some pretty good crosswinds, and, you know, you can get blown around a little bit. But there are a few things that you can do to help mitigate that situation, make yourself more comfortable. So three quick tips for riding in the wind. First, be little. A big sail catches more wind, so be the tiniest sail you can be, especially if it's a crosswind. So on the track, you see riders, it's real easy to tuck in to minimize their drag and that sort of thing. Do the same thing on the street when you're in the wind. Scoot back in the seat a little bit, tuck in, adjust your mirrors, and be small. Two, be pliable. So let the wind move your body, but don't let it transfer into the handlebars. A steady crosswind is fairly simple to adjust to, but when gusts come and go, it can be a little more dicey. So as the gust hits, your upper body will get rocked, but you need to let your palms and your thumb forefinger webbing rotate a bit on the handlebar rather than steer the bike. Have loose, pliable arms. It's one of the things we focus on with proper posture, is keeping your arms relaxed. Holding on tight with your arms and your torso, which seems natural and instinctive, puts steering pressure into the hand grips, and the ride gets quite a bit more unsteady and unnerving. So try to relax everything from the top of your head to your butt. Let the wind move you, but don't let that movement feed into the handlebars. And then number three is be really good at countersteering. Countersteering is what we all learn as kids on a bicycle, usually after we tip over a few times. But pushing the right bar forward turns a two-wheeler to the right. Left forward pressure turns the bike motorcycle to the left. Quick pressure snaps the bike around. Gentle pressure rolls it over. In the wind, it's a ride saver, especially when you understand that pulling back on the left bar while pushing forward on the right really helps to lever the bike to the right and vice versa. So those just a couple quick tips about riding in the wind.
Walt, have you experienced that very thing?
Well, one of the things I was going to say is my first motorcycle was a Sportster. Mm-hmm. Sportster is, they say Sportster because it's a sport kind of bike, and it has very high weight. And when the wind would hit it, that high weight would get hit and wants to go. And you're going to go whichever way that tank goes that's getting blown. Then I got Big Black, the Heritage. And I got, and this big wind hit me, and I thought that's going to be it. And it was rock solid. And the reason is because all that weight was down below the axles. Mm-hmm. And blowing, and what's hitting up at the top, like he says, the big sail, the big area, there's so much weight down there, it's like, oh, I don't care. Blow by. Who cares?
Yeah.
And so you, but once again, your bike is what it is.
It is.
But you need to know what it is. So if you have high weight, watch out. If a wind hits you crosswise, you're going to have to fight it. If you've mm-hmm. got low weight, you may not have to fight it so much. But you know, it's not going to be as hard.
And the size of a bike, because when you're on a lighter bike, the amount of tossing around because you got a lighter
road
machine.
King ain't going anywhere.
Well, and John's isn't going to go anywhere because his is a very heavy, big bike. But a little 650 or 350 or 400, that you're going to be buffeted around because even without a wind, what I noticed when on a smaller bike is you get up to the higher speeds and your bike's starting to die. Now, mine was not a crotch rocket, so it wasn't built for that kind of thing. But the lighter weight, what I call little cruisers, you get up about 85, 90, and that thing's shaking because it's not meant to go really, really fast. And
it's not happy there.
It's not happy there. It's happy at about 65, and that's about where it's at. The ones that are built for the higher speed, you can cruise along. But there again, so just knowing that. I've seen little scooters. I've seen people on scooters going down when there's some wind, and they're like almost across from one. I've seen them almost go from one lane into another because the crosswind was so strong. They just kind of, whoop, next thing you know, they're over, and then they're back over. So you have to be very careful.
Yep.
Yeah, and you got to be ready to countersteer into that wind to try to compensate for it wanting to blow you over.
And scooters handle differently than a motorcycle.
Yes, because they have a much smaller wheels.
Yes, and you're steering more than you are. Although, as Chris likes to say, you can still do quite well on a scooter if you think like a motorcycle. But a lot of time you're trying to steer it, it doesn't operate the same way. The other thing I was going to ask, I was going to cover is, was I going to cover? I don't know.
The latest Polaris recall?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, John. What's that?
So Polaris is recalling some of their 2017, 2018 Slingshots, Slingshot SL, Slingshot SLR, Slingshot SL Icon, and Slingshot GTLE motorcycles. The brake pedals may have been incorrectly installed. Allowing the brake pedal to separate from the brake master cylinder. That sounds like a bad day.
Right.
Potential
and
number
no
of
hand
units
brakes.
Affected is 4,342.
What's that?
The number of affected units is 4,342.
Wow. Yep.
So if you've got a 2017, 2018 Polaris Slingshot of whatever alphabet soup follows that, you need to talk to Polaris and see if it's subject to the recall.
Yeah, take it down to your dealership.
If you see one, get away.
Yeah, that's right. If you see one coming up behind you, you may want to get out of the way because the brakes may not work.
I thought they put a whole program together to be doing quality control and all this good stuff. So much for so much for that. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, they certainly had quite a run.
Yep.
Well, I can complain because I have shares in the company, so I'm a shareholder, and maybe I should have got out when the
three or four or what?
Yeah, about three or four. I bought it at 85, and it went to 155 within 3 months, and that's when I should have sold it.
Should have got out of it.
It's one of these,
held on to it.
It's one of these play money kind of accounts that my wife and I, we put together years ago, and I got to get in there and actually do some stuff because it's like one of these things that I haven't touched. But, yeah, I'm like, I get their – I don't even get their prospectus anymore. I guess I'm not on their A-list. But you can go
online. You're not on the radar anymore.
Well, what's interesting is you can go online and get a prospectus, and then you can find out how many motorcycles they actually sell.
Yeah.
So when you hear these big increases, actually look at how many they sell compared to their off-road vehicles.
Yep.
It's a minuscule amount of bikes, it's not as big a number as you might think compared to what they're doing overall. And, again, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that they bought that other small
They bought the pontoon boat company.
That's right, the pontoon boat company. So they realized that their safety in numbers, i.e. numbers of SKUs of various types of vehicles that they build. And
it's diversification,
It's diversification. Honda's done it. Kawasaki's done it. Suzuki did it with their cars. But Harley is still the single. And I think the only way Harley could get away with it is if they actually did a different division and didn't call it Harley.
Well, you know, Harley doesn't have to. They don't have to produce any other products. They just license their name to others. I mean,
hold on. There's our music. You're exactly right. No one else can do that like Harley.
Yep.
We'll be right back with more of the show. Hang on.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off this time with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. Walt, tell us about what's going on.
Well, we've had a lot of events recently. It's been really nice. Street Vibrations is now over. We're going to start on, must be Saturday, is going to be the start of Laconia Motorcycle Week,
yep.
Which my wife never knew about until I got into motorcycling. And now every week she goes, I wish we could go. She doesn't want anything to do with motorcycles. She wants to go home.
She just wants to go home.
That's it. So there's that. Okay. Turn the page, Walter.
Now, Laconia, just remind me, where is that again? What state?
That's in New Hampshire.
Am I going to be up near there when I go through New York to Boston to Philadelphia? Yep.
You want to look for Lake Arcadia? Winnipesaukee.
Okay. We'll talk about it off air. You can show me where to go.
And if you go to Gilmanton, that's where Peyton Place was written and what it's written about.
That was was a boring show. I didn't like it.
Right. Anyway, that's their claim to fame.
I don't think you were their target demographic.
No, not at the age I was at that time.
On July 14th is the Linwood Washington Draggers last ride, and the beginning of August, though Chris hasn't told me exactly the date yet, they're going to have the Alaska one, which they're still having.
Well, he's coming on the show. We're going to have him on the show.
And there is an allegation that there may be either an Idaho or an Oregon one. So we'll see when he gets here what all they're up to. And then we have beginning in August, the very beginning of August, we have Sturgis.
Yep.
And then on the 29th through September of August through the 2nd of September, we have the Harley-Davidson 115th anniversary celebration. And one of the things you can see in that if you hang out is they will actually start Harley number one.
Yep.
And it runs.
Numero uno.
That's pretty cool. It's over 100. That's a 115-year-old bike. That's really cool.
Yep.
Of course, we talked with Dale Waxler a number of weeks ago, and he's got bikes that are very, very old, and he runs every one of them. So,
yep.
John, what was last week's trivia question?
So last week's trivia question was, what was the origin of the term wide glide? Why were wide glides called wide glides?
Did you figure that one out, Walt?
Oh, yeah. It has a longer rake so that it's the bike is actually wider, from front to back.
Right.
So.
Close. Not exactly what my sources tell me. It actually has to do with the distance between the front fork tubes.
Oh.
So. Yeah. Original narrow glides were about 7 inches center to center on the forks, and the wide glides are about 10.
Yes, they are very wide. They're very bulky looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the narrow and the wide glide referred to the distance between the front fork tubes.
That makes
it also is the only, right now, if you got one, it would be the only Harley that has the high forward rake. Used to be that it was the wide glide and the custom, the Softail custom. But, So that's about it, guys and girls. I'm Walt.
I'm John.
I'm Steve. Remember, look where you want to go, because you're going to go wherever you're looking. We'll see you out on the road.